Hi, my name is Heidi Phillips, and you're listening to The Aging Athlete. We'll be discussing topics related to aging well and living an active life. Many times we'll have interviews with medical professionals, athletes, and other experts in the aging journey. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this episode.
Well, hello and welcome back to The Aging Athlete. I am so excited today. We have John Adamson, who is an athlete and a coach in Atlanta, Georgia with us today. John, thank you so much for taking your time to be interviewed today and for sharing with us.
Well, I appreciate being invited to the podcast. I look forward to seeing what we can get done today.
Awesome. Me too. Well, let me share a little bit of your background, John, and then we'll get into the questions. So okay. John actually was born in 1937. So you see, he is an aging athlete. He grew up in Chicago, Illinois, he was born in Chicago, Illinois, and then grew up in Wisconsin. And he graduated high school in 1955, joined the Marines in 1956. So thank you for your service. You spent a few years there. And then you went to Marquette University. And then after that, later, you went to Vanderbilt University and graduated with an MBA in 1980. You worked in corporate America until 1997. And you retired from a company, GNB Technologies, in 1997 as their chief operating officer. And then I know that you learned about triathlons in 1982, being held in Tennessee. That was a half a mile swim, biking 25 miles, and a 10K run, 6.2 miles. And apparently there were four of you runners who decided to give it a try, and you have never looked back. And from 1982 on, you did local races and made the podium a few times. You did your first ITU Worlds in 1991 in Canada and finished in the top 10 in your age group. From there, you went on to do some half Ironman races. And then you did your first Hawaii Worlds in 1993 after qualifying at Mrs. T's, an Olympic triathlon in Chicago. And I remember Mrs. T's pierogies used to sponsor those races. I was around back then. And then after 1997, when you retired, you got serious. And I'm just going to read off a few of these just so people know the level of athlete that you are. You did the World Triathlon Championship 70.3 Worlds five times. You got first in your age group in 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, and 2012. You did the World Triathlon Championship in Hawaii, Ironman Worlds in 1993, from 1993 to 2003. So for 10 years, you got second twice. You got third twice. And you got fourth once, and first, and you got once, you were first in your age group. You did 10 ITU Worlds, multiple second age group, thirds, so always in the top of your age group, 15 age group championships for USAT, 10 times you were first in your age group. And what I really want to talk about is your USAT Grandmaster of the Year in 2003, 2007, and 2012. And Xterra World Championship in 2017, first in your age group, and you were the first 80-year-old to complete the course. I think that is amazing. You have always been a source of inspiration, you and your wife, Jo. And I know you started your coaching business in 1999, and you've been coaching multi-sport athletes and single-sport athletes since then, and you're still coaching. And you also helped a mutual friend of ours, Lisa Marshall, launch her youth team Explosion. And you helped with coaching that for a number of years. So I just want people to understand when you're talking, who they're listening to, and the level of the sport that you have been able to do when you really didn't even, I mean, you were good, but you became great after you retired. Sort of, you had having a second career as an athlete. And I think that's super fun. So I always like to start with the question of why people do what they do. So would you please share with us what got you started? Well, I sort of alluded to that in the giving you a little bit of your background, but what got you started and why you do this?
Well, we, like I said, there was a group of us back in that era of in the late 70s and early 80s, and we were really hardcore runners. And so we used to run every weekend. We'd race Saturday and Sunday, either 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons. And we read about this thing called triathlon in the paper. And they were going to have one in, I think it was June, in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. So four of us got together and said, well, let's try it. Well, we had to go get to the lake, swim in the lake. I hadn't swam for years and had just got a bicycle. And one of my international trips, I stopped off at a bike store in France and bought a Motobacon steel frame road bike and shipped it back to the U.S. And so, to make a long story short, we went ahead and went down there, and we didn't realize the swim was below the dam in one of these man-made reservoirs in Tennessee. And then the temperature of the water was somewhere around in the high 40s, and there were no wetsuits. So we all got this bright idea to jump in the water and get acclimated. Oh. And instead, we froze to death. So the swim was very painful and slow. And we got on the bike and didn't thaw out till afterwards. So we all thought the same thing. We made it through the swim. We made it through the bike. And now we're in our own element. We can run. So we finished that. And out of the four of us, two of us stayed with the sport. And the other two said, forget it. I'm going back to running. So this one girl and myself actually competed pretty much for the same length of time. I think she quit racing 4 or 5 years ago, but she stayed with it, and that's where it all started. And then we, back then, for people that may not know, the first triathlons were only like 4 or 5 years before that. So we were getting in at the really bottom part of this sport, and there were very few rules, very informal, not that many people. Our equipment was really primitive, and we just went ahead and did it. And so for the first few years, there were very few triathlons. I mean, today you can just about race every week if you want to. And back then, you might be able to race 4 or 5 times a year. Mm-hmm. And so we got started, and like I said, I was the only one from Tennessee, actually, that kept with it. And this other girl was from Nashville, Tennessee, and so she kept on doing them, but I'd only do 2 or 3 a year because that's all there was. And then we started moving around with my job, and then that made it harder. So I stayed with the sport, but it was at a much lower level during that period of time.
Well, I love that. I love that story. And that. So your background is as a runner. So how long have you been running?
I started running not maybe when I was in my early middle 30s. So it wasn't like I started in high school. The high school I went to only had 3 major sports, and that was baseball, basketball, and football. And that was it. We didn't have any other teams at that time. But I was always a pretty good runner in playing sandlot football and so on. And so I took it up in my early, late middle 30s, and it just was pretty easy for me, and I did pretty good. And so I just ended up being with a bunch of hardcore runners, and most of them were a lot more experienced than I was. They were doing ultra marathons and marathons, and so they got me into this whole thing, and did a few marathons, did a ton of 10Ks and 5Ks and half marathons. And then after I started doing triathlon, I kept on running too. So I was racing about 25, 30 times a year, something like that. Wow. Including everything.
That's a lot. So next question, as an aging athlete, I know you've had to deal with major injuries, or I know of only one that I can remember. Can you share with us, you know, what your injuries have been? And how did you get back on track?
Well, when I got into some of the longer distance triathlons, I like most people, I ended up training a lot. So especially running. So you're running a lot of miles. I was running close to 40 miles a week. And when you do that, usually something gets injured. And so I had my typical knee injuries and hip injuries and what have you. And for most of those, I'd go to a physical therapist and they'd tell me to do this or do that or help me and I get over them. But then it was probably in 1996 or something like that, or 97, I had my first bike wreck. And that wasn't too bad. I didn't get hurt too bad on that one. Went to the doctor and picked me up. But in 2006, I was over in Belgium, actually watching the Tour de France with a group, and had a major bike wreck. Should have had stitches, but we weren't near a doctor. And so everybody just kind of patched me up with Band-Aids and so on until I got back. And it took a few weeks for that to heal. But it was a little bit later. I think it was probably in 2010, I was preparing for the 70.3 World Championships. And I was running trail, and all of a sudden I found myself on the ground and got up and I couldn't go forward. I could only walk backwards, and found out I had ruptured all four quad tendons by hitting a root with my foot.
Wow.
And so I went to my doctor, my orthopedic doctor, who is, I think, the greatest in the world. He put me back together again. And within 3 months, I was back running.
Wow.
And running as good as I ever did. And so after that, I had a major bike wreck in 2013 when I was doing nationals in Milwaukee, and a guy passed me and crashed right in front of me, and I hit him, and I ended up breaking my clavicle, my elbow, shattered my elbow, had a stress fracture in my pubic bone, and had major surgery on that one after I got back to Atlanta. And recovered, used the same surgeon, name is David Stokes, out of Atlanta, and recovered, and I was back training again within 3 months. And so those are the major ones. I had, last year I was riding, minding my home business, and a lady who didn't see me and probably shouldn't have been driving, made a left turn and ran me over with her car.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was very, very lucky. No broken bones, just stitches and a lot of road rash. And I was back up within 3 weeks again after that. And knock on wood, nothing this last year at all. So I've had a few major accidents, but I've never missed a season.
Wow.
Because of it. I was always... And my doctor says I recover faster than anybody he's ever worked on. And he does a lot of surgeries. So I think I'm fortunate that I recover fast, I heal fast, and knock on wood that I don't have any more.
Wow. Well, what do you think? Do you believe that maybe waiting to do triathlons until, you know, getting serious about them until later in life has given you more longevity in the sport and in the running world? Because I know you said you weren't a high school athlete.
Probably, yes. I think those athletes, a couple of things. I think those athletes that start training and nowadays are doing serious triathlon multi-sport when they're 15, 16, 10, and then on into college or after college, I think they either burn out or wear out, one of the two, probably by the time they get in their 40s.
Right.
I think most people only have so many miles in their body of this stuff. Now, I think they can keep on exercising for fitness without a problem. But as far as competing, I think you only got so many years, and you're either just going to get burned out of the whole thing and get tired of it. And then it's a matter of trying to stay fit. You know, that's, mm-hmm. as an aging athlete, I think you get to the point where staying fit is the goal more than competing.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you on that. And I've had my own issues. And I wasn't a high school athlete either. I just ran really for fun, just to help maintain a healthy weight and because I like to move, but I would never really did much competitively until probably my early to mid 20s when I started doing triathlon. So in the early to mid 80s, before it was really a big thing and there weren't that many women doing it. But I've had my own issues physically, and I agree with you. I think we only have so many miles on our bodies where we can be at a competitive level. But I know there are always people who are the exception. And I think you're definitely an exception, the way you're able to keep going and recover as well as you do. So what do you do, anything specific? You mentioned that you have really good recovery. Is there anything specific you do to help you with recovery? Are you, you know, do you feel like you have a really good diet? Do you do, you know, any cryo, you know, where you, do you do ice baths? Is there anything that, that you do and that you can put into the bucket of recovery that you think you do very
probably
well?
A combination of genetics and also my personal care physician, who happens to be into a lot of health issues and trying to stay healthy, and I work with her, and she has prescribed a lot of supplements in addition to this food diet to try to help keep my, I guess, endurance up and keep everything working good. So I've been going to her for 10 years, and she does a complete, really detailed physical once a year and analyzes everything, and then tries to prescribe supplements that'll help me recover, help me stay healthy. And then from a diet standpoint, I'm not fanatic about anything, but I've always kept my weight pretty low in terms of optimal weight. And she measures the BMI, or body mass index, on me frequently and tries to keep that within a healthy range. So there's a lot of things that I do to try to help recover and stay healthy. To me, the best thing you can do is just not get injured in the first place, mm-hmm. or not get sick in the first place, and that'll help you recover. But I work hard on balancing out my workload. I don't try to overtrain. All those things go into the recovery side of it.
Right. And is this person, do you mind me asking, is this person you see, is she a doctor? Is she a nutritionist? Is she, you know, what is her specialty?
She is primary care, and she's a concierge doctor.
Okay.
So I pay her once a year, every month, a lot. I have total access to her.
Right.
So we text back and forth, and she just got into the whole area of fitness from a physician standpoint, and she works out herself quite a bit, and so we have a lot in common. So
right.
We communicate a lot on it, and I think she's helped a lot.
That's fantastic when you can find somebody like that who gets you, who knows that you want to keep moving, and she's on her own journey of exercising and staying fit. I think that makes a big difference. So I love that. So now I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about and ask you about you as a coach. Specifically, do you build in more recovery for older athletes? I know age per se isn't a good marker for this, but I know recovery is something for me personally I have to take much more seriously now, even though I'm not competing. But I know it takes me longer physically to recover from things. I have definitely noticed a difference. I'm getting to be in my later 50s. And it's definitely not like being 40.
Yeah, I think, and I've coached, you know, typically I might end up with a couple athletes in their 30s, in their 50s, 60s, even I think 70 is probably the oldest. And definitely have to tailor the workouts based on age. When a person is in their 30s and in good shape, they can do a lot, and they have to compete because it's very competitive. As they get older, two things happen. One is I think the competition becomes less because of fewer people in each age group. As you start aging over 50, every 5 years, there's about 20% fewer people. But the ones that are in there are still very good. So what I do is try and using myself kind of as a gauge, and sometimes it's not too good because I've always been able to probably train more for my age than a lot of people, but I try to tailor their workouts such that the older athletes do less and have more rest. So they're working out fewer hours per week, and they're also having a rest day that I make them really take off totally. And the other thing that happens as they get older is they start racing shorter distances. So they may do one Ironman. Some of them may do one Ironman a year, where the younger athletes want to do two or three Ironman a year. But for the most part, most of them have tailored back. When they get in their 50s, 60s, they're satisfied to do shorter races. And that also requires less training. So it kind of builds itself into the whole process because they're not trying to do the real long distance races, and so they don't have to train as much.
Right.
And so I give them a lot less workload than, say, someone in their 30s who decides they want to do an Ironman, and then all of a sudden their workload goes up to 20 hours a week, and the older athletes are doing about 10 or 12.
Mm-hmm. Great. That's what I wanted you to talk about. So thank you for that. Do you follow a special nutrition plan? And I know you touched on this a little bit, or what is your philosophy for fueling yourself?
Well, I'm sort of old school in that I do not believe in the keto diet. I just can't figure out a way how to get fat to burn fast enough for these athletes. And so I'm pretty much a carb-oriented person when it comes to nutrition for athletes. I don't overdo it, but I still think that, you know, carbs have got to make up a major part of your diet because you burn sugar and you burn carbs. And if you don't have them in your system to start with, or if you're not introducing them into your system as you train or race, you're going to end up bonking one way or the other. There's always the exception, and
right.
I know there are people that made the fat diet work, but right now everybody I coach is pretty much on a more carb diet with lower percents of protein and fat.
Right. Well, I'll just tell you, there is a lot of scientific research in studying the microbiome and gut health that we now understand a lot better how our bodies work. And actually, keto diets are, according to a very well-known gastroenterologist, he says that keto is the only diet that helps you lose weight but makes you unhealthier in the process. So basically, you're starving out the microbes that digest those carbs, those fibers and starches. And then when you try to eat normally, you don't have those microbes anymore. So you're actually making yourself more likely to type 2 diabetes and other illnesses, autoimmune issues and everything. So I am totally against the keto diet, but I know there are people that do it. And I do believe, you know, genetically, some people can probably do it easier than others, but it really messes up gut health. So just know that you don't need to try to go keto. It's not what we're finding out is what is really good for us as humans, for us to stay healthy. So our bodies are meant to eat carbs. And you just obviously figured it out as that is what works for you. And I've always known that for me as well, but I was looking for scientific research regarding that. And we now really have it. So, what advice do you have for us as far as staying healthy and moving as we age? I mean, we're aging from the time that we're born, but we tend to become more sedentary as we get older.
Yeah. What I have found is that your focus, it's got to be on staying fit and healthy and not really focusing on competing as you get older. Even though you competed a lot as an aging athlete. As you get older, you know, your focus really has to kind of turn towards consistency and not giving up because you're not as fast as you used to be, or you're not as fit as you used to be. And I think as long as you can keep that consistency, and as an aging athlete, what I found, and I push this on my athletes, and that is, as you age, your muscle mass deteriorates at a very high percent for every decade over about 40. And so what I have to do is I introduce a lot of weight training as I've gotten older. And in fact, I really introduced it when I was probably 40, starting 40 all the way up. So I've been doing it over 40 years. And I think that has really contributed to my ability to stay healthy and to compete at the level I have as I get older, because just the fact that you're going to swim, bike, run, or whatever you're into is not enough, because you're going to be losing that muscle mass. You're not going to maintain it just by biking a lot or by running a lot or by swimming a lot. You've got to do weights. And so right now I've probably backed off of running the most, because I really don't need it to stay fit. And so I bike a lot and I swim quite a bit and I do weights quite a bit. So I'm probably doing close to 9 workouts every week. Not maybe as intense or as long as I used to, but I'm doing them at that level so that I can enjoy life. I can still participate in doing biking or swimming or whatever. But you got to just stay healthy and you got to be able to recover and stay fit, and you can't become sedentary. I mean, that's the worst thing. And I see a lot of athletes that as they stop competing, they stop training. Mm-hmm. And then if they do that in their 50s or 60s, and by the time they're 70, they can't do much. So you're better off just to do something that you can do and stay fit. And you got to be able to do cardio and you got to be able to do strength training. And I try to convince every elder person that I meet to go to the gym and start lifting weights, even if it's only 2 pounds. Right. They got to start because right. They get so weak as they get older. And by the time you're 80, if you haven't kept this up, you probably can't even carry groceries in, you know, from the car. I mean, you get, and it's not that you've done anything wrong. It's just they don't realize their muscle mass will deteriorate.
Right.
Whether you like it or not, but you can slow the process down immensely if you will do weight training.
Totally agree with you there. And it's definitely something that David and I are doing more of as we've gotten older. Not necessarily heavier, but just making sure that we're maintaining our muscle mass, because you made a great point and it's exactly true. So thank you for that. And I love that you tell people just to keep moving, because what happens is when people become sedentary, they just start aging faster. And I don't think any of us wants that. So you and your wife, Jo, are both very accomplished athletes, triathletes and runners. And do you attribute this to just the smart way that you're training, that you're making sure you recover, you're making sure you're doing strength training? I know it's not just genetics, but I think you both have amazing genetics.
Yeah, I think genetics play a bigger part in it when you're competing at the highest level that you can. But as you get older, then it takes more discipline and more commitment and more consistency. And my wife, Jo, has gotten into yoga. And she got certified as an instructor. So she teaches and she goes as much as she can. And she's not competing right now, but she still rides her bike with me and she still swims with a master's group and still does weights. But she's added the yoga aspect to it. I never could get into that, but it's helped her stay very healthy. And so you know, it's just a combination of trying to, I think the biggest thing is the consistency and to stay with it and don't stop. Even if you have to back off the amount of weights you lift or the amount of miles you run, your bike, or the speed that you go, as long as you just keep on moving, keep your heart pumping, keep the muscles working, you can keep on doing this as long as you possibly live, I guess. You know, I don't plan on stopping.
I love that. You're so inspiring. So glad you were willing to do this interview. And I had forgotten that Joe got certified as a yoga instructor. And you know, that's another thing though. As we age, we do become less flexible. I was never super flexible, but I'm definitely much less flexible now. And so it's a good point to remember that piece too. So, and I also have a hard time sitting still. So yoga has always been challenging to me because it's just a much calmer pace. And I know it's good for me mentally, but it's much harder for me physically, I think. Not just because I'm inflexible, but because I always want to move a little bit faster. I have found some yoga instructors, though, that have such a fast flow that it matches me better than some of the other classes, which doesn't mean I don't need them. But I'm not sure which type Joe teaches, but I bet she's an amazing instructor. Is there anything else you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I guess as one of the aging or more aging athletes around, I think the other thing that I would recommend, and that is look for, if you get bored doing something, then look for something else to stay active. Because like some people say, well, I can't ride my bike anymore. Or the biggest thing I hear right now is in Atlanta area is I'm afraid to ride my bike because of the cars. And so what we did is we got mountain bikes. Mm-hmm. So now we're into mountain biking, and you know, and that's why I did Xterra in 2017, is someone talked me into it. And we're not really competitive mountain bikers, but we just like the bike. Uh-huh. And easy trails, do a lot of gravel and just stay active. But it's so much different. That it's something else you can do to stay fit. So whether it's that or some other sport, I mean, there's a lot of sports that you can do that you can stay active. And the main thing is you have to do something to stay active. So if you're bored with doing what you used to do as an aging athlete, then look for something new and just stay active as long as you possibly can. And that's going to pay dividends from your health standpoint more than anything else.
I totally agree. And mental health and physical health. I think we have to exercise for both of those. David and I also sort of traded in our road bikes. We still have them, but we haven't been on them in at least 9 years. So we only ride our mountain bikes, and we ride them except through a neighborhood. We go on trails along the canals. We have dirt canal trails that are, you know, on either side of the canals. And that's really where we ride. We don't want to ride on the road anymore either. Because it's definitely not as fun sitting on like a CompuTrainer or some sort of static bike. I like to be outside. So I did not know you were now mountain biking. That's fantastic. So please share with our listeners how someone can contact you if they're interested in coaching for running or triathlons. I don't know if you coach swimming. I know you coach running and
triathlon. Yeah, I don't have a website, and I never have. I guess I never needed one. Lucky enough. But my email address is a good way to get a hold of me. And that is team, T-E-A-M, John, J-O-N-3, @gmail.com. And that would be the best way to get a hold of me if anyone's ever interested in just talking, asking questions, or whatever. I'm pretty accessible that way.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, John. And I will add into the show notes if someone wants to follow you on Facebook as well. But I will also post your email address so that people can get a hold of you. And you don't need a website because everybody in the Atlanta area knows who you are. Probably in the Southeast and in the triathlon community, everybody knows who you are as well. So that's fantastic. I know you get a lot of referrals for coaching. And please tell Joe hello. And thank you again for being willing to do this interview with me and for participating. And I wish you both the best.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me. Enjoyed it a lot.
Oh, me too. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. If you enjoyed it, I hope you share it and click the subscribe button so you don't miss future episodes. See you on the next one.